Humans will meet representatives of intelligent alien civilizations in 2036. This bold prediction was made by astrophysicist Seth Shostak from the SETI Institute, according to Popular Mechanics. The expert's conclusion is based on the fact that every few years, the power of computers doubles, which will help people find extraterrestrial civilizations. He says, in order to analyze huge amounts of data received from space, significant computing resources are needed, so it can be assumed that with the development of computers, analysis will be seriously accelerated. By 2036, he explained, computers will be powerful enough to help find technology signatures that point to aliens. Techno-signatures are what we humans would recognize as signs of technologically advanced activity. The best-known example is radio signals, which SETI, of course, researchers have spent the past few decades searching for. But there are many other signatures that have not been explored fully, and more are being conceived of all the time. These include laser emissions, which could be used for optical communications or as a means of propulsion, signs of megastructures, which some believed were the reason behind the mysterious dimming of Tabby's star, or an atmosphere full of carbon dioxide, methane, CFCs, and other known pollutants. Fascinating. You can read more about Seth Shostak's predictions in the news column, or section, rather, up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, back to your calls. Hopefully some prescient dreams and out-of-body experiences as Open Lines continues right here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, it looks like we may have some out-of-body experience calls. Let's say hi to Robert on the wildcard line in New Jersey. Robert, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
How you doing? Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. I had an NDE when I was younger, and prior to that, I was very atheistic. I thought of the universe as simply something material. I came out of my body, and I was surprised I was alive. And I remember the first thing, my first thought was, oh, I'm me again, the real me. And I saw that space was something. It wasn't simply empty room. It was like a substance. I was able to float into it, and I was also able to see in the past. You're able to see, like you can see into distance, you can see into the past. Yeah, I'm a little nervous now because I've never been on the radio before. But I saw consciousness.
You're doing great.
Yeah. I saw consciousness. Human consciousness is divided along three lines, which is I never heard from anyone else before. Picture all the left hemispheres working together and through telepathy, and that's the old biblical God, you know, in the Bible. And all the right brains working together, that's what you ordinarily call Satan. And the white light is all the information in the universe. And it cements all the souls in the universe together with love, because love overrides everything, all differences too. So that's essentially your Trinity.
How old were you? Hold on, Robert. How old were you when you had this NDE?
About 20.
20, okay. And what happened? Yeah. Was it a car accident? What happened?
I simply passed out from exhaustion and my heart stopped. And I was lucky for me, there were some people that were able to revive me. But when I came out, I didn't want to go back in. For the first time, I looked at my body. I was looking down at it, and I thought of it as in a prison. It seemed like a cold prison. And then I heard a voice behind me, and I braced for it, and it said, "Not your time." And then I was pushed back into the body. And I was pretty mad about it.
Right.
Prior to that, I didn't have any religious feelings at all.
How does it change your life? How have you lived your life differently as a result of that?
I became spiritual. And also, my mind opened up to the possibility of spiritual information and consciousness is not material. Prior to that, I thought everything was material. And I thought once the body dies and the brain disintegrates, consciousness goes forever. And then religion was just wishful dream for most people, you know, but it had no basis in physical reality. But then and also I started to remember past lives. I started getting a glimmer, like memories of past lives. And I never thought that could even be possible too. But I saw the soul grows different from the physical body. The soul needs It wants to grow, and it wants to increase its consciousness, its ability to be aware, and it needs multiple lives. It needs life after life after life. What's it be called? But different lives. You can't get stuck in the same life. So death is a necessity. You can't stay with the same personality forever, because that your growth is stagnated on a spiritual line. So death is part of the evolutionary process for the soul, and you're meant to die. This is the way you evolve, and I sense all creatures do that. They're all going through that. The smallest
Robert,
creature.
Eloquent call, excellent call, Robert. Yeah. I appreciate that. Your first time caller, you did wonderfully. I've never heard anyone describe an NDE or an OBE in that manner. Terrific. Thank you so much for that. Rico is a first-time caller. Getting a lot of first-time callers tonight. He's trucking in Kentucky. Rico, welcome.
Hey, Richard. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well.
What are you hauling tonight?
Some Amazon freight.
All right. How are the roads?
Yeah, taking it from one to another. Pretty good. Seems like it never snowed.
Good. All right. Well, be safe. So what do you got for us tonight, Rico?
Yeah, so I'm calling in regarding your topic of the dreams and the premonitions. I'm not too familiar on this subject. I do know my grandmother was able to touch on her dreams and things came true. And I've never had it until I passed a surgery. I'm a Good Samaritan living kidney donor. Back in 2009, I donated my kidney to a stranger.
Wow, good for you.
Since then, that's when I started recognizing this gift. Now, I don't know if it has something to do that when they put me under, maybe it was just a deeper trance of consciousness that I was in, that I was able to open up these abilities. But 1 week after, I was able to dream some stuff, and the next day or 2 days, it would just happen. And I'm not talking about big things, no lottery or anything like that, but just enough for my mind to tell me, hey, this is a sign, this is for you, this is something to, to look.
So give me an example, Rico. Give me an example of a dream you had that came true.
An example, let's say one day I had a dream of a girl I did not know, and she was going into some medical treatment. Now, it was very vivid. I could see the girl. I could see the person. I dreamt of the issue, what was happening. It started with a rash, and it went forward. Now, 2 days after, I was talking to my mother, and she says, oh, yeah, we have family members out in South America, and one of our cousins, this is what was happening. It started with a rash, I guess some infection with the seawater or something like that. And exactly what happened in my dream, she was telling me, and I never told anybody. I never told a soul, because I just, I woke up, it was very vivid. I just threw it away. I didn't think anything of it.
And you'd never met this cousin before?
I never met before, no.
And so did you finally see a picture to compare?
No, I didn't see a picture, but the way my mother described her, it was the exact person in my dream, a brunette, young teenager, things like that.
Right. What does that all mean, Rico? What are you supposed to do with that information, do you think?
I don't know. I heard your caller before who was talking about the Bible and the scriptures and things like that. I don't want to say I'm too religious. I am spiritual. I don't compare myself to Joseph or Daniel or anything like that from the Bible, but I ask myself the same thing. What am I supposed to do with these dreams? Am I supposed to, I don't have the ability to hone it. It comes and goes whenever it wants. I can't tell you every dream I have, it's a premonition. Sometimes I just dream weird stuff and I forget about it. But the ones that are very vivid and I can remember when I wake up, those are the ones that I do write it down. I keep a journal now after continuous things just happening. you know, just for me, for my benefit, to say, oh, look, I wrote this down 2 days ago, and this is happening now.
Well, that's a remarkable gift you have. I hope you do learn to hone it, and let's see what happens with it. And I hope you'll call again and tell us about your next prescient dream. Rico, safe travels tonight. Be safe. Thanks so much. Let's see. We're going to say hi to Gail is in Missouri. Gail, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning, Richard. My out-of-body experience happened when I was 4. I was in a very bad family situation, and a family member was extremely abusive and had just the physical abuse was very bad. And I was in my bedroom. I had been more or less kept there for a while. And she came in with some hot soup and told me to make sure that I ate it all. I ate it, and it wasn't very long, and I became very ill. And I threw up all over my bed. And I was very scared because I figured that I was going to be in very big trouble because I had messed up my bed. So I crawled out of bed, and I pulled the linens out of the closet, and I tried to remake my bed, which I didn't do a real good job being 4, but right. I remade my bed and hid the clothes, the bed clothes behind the bed. She came in to the bedroom. She saw me. She found the bedclothes behind the bed, didn't say anything to me, but I was all of a sudden floating up by the ceiling, looking down on all of this happening. And she very quietly just picked everything up and walked out and locked the door. And I remember that was the first time I remember actually praying to God. And I asked God, I said, please help me, God. Please save me. And all of a sudden I was back in my body again.
Remarkable. Was it your fear of the situation that pulled you out of your body, or was that God answering your prayers, taking you out of your body momentarily?
I know that I was extremely scared. I really believe, looking back on it as an adult, I really believe that there was something in the food that was either supposed to make me really sick or else kill me. And I just remember that when I prayed to God to save me, he did.
So, that's remarkable. Did that ever happen again, Gail? Did you ever have another out-of-body experience?
No, I've never had another out-of-body experience. I did see the ghost of my mom when I was in the hospital this last year. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks and was very sick, and I was asleep, but all of a sudden I was wide awake. I was not dreaming, and I saw my mother standing at the corner of the room as you come into the room. I couldn't see her face, but I knew it was her because of the way she was dressed. She always wore flannel nightgowns and a robe over the top of that, and that was her uniform when she was at home. Right. And it was her. And so I've had a couple of experiences, but thank
you. How are you now, Gail? It sounds like you had a very horrible childhood. How are you doing now?
I'm doing quite well, and instead of making me bitter and making me hate people, I think when I asked God to save me, He gave me the capability of being able to look at other people and say, you know, everybody has their cross to carry, and to be more sympathetic and empathetic to people. So I thank Him for that. So thank you, Richard. I really enjoy it when you host the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, Gail. I appreciate it. Be well. God bless you. East of the Rockies, Terry is in Kansas. Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thank you. I just want to talk about a dream that I had. I've had some crazy dreams. I dream about people that I've never seen before, and then later on I meet them. I've done that several times throughout my life.
Really? And when you meet them, do you go up to them and say, hey, I had a dream about you?
What I normally do is I say, where do I know you from? They'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, are you from here? And they'll say, no, and they're from another state or from another town. And I'll say, I thought for sure I knew you. And they'll say, no, I've never met you before.
How often does that happen?
That's in my life probably, and I may be underestimating, probably 50 times.
50 times. Why do you think you have that ability? What are you supposed to do with it?
I don't know, but there's one dream I had that you might be interested in. Something I've noticed is that most Canadians know quite a bit about the United States, but most of the citizens of the United States don't know that much about Canada.
Well, that's true, but for good reason. We're a large country, geographically speaking, but we're a tiny country. We have 37 million people. We're about the size of California, really, when you think about it, stretched over, thousands of miles. I've got to take a break here, Terry. If you don't mind holding on, hold on over the break, and I'll get back to you. Would love to hear more about your prescient dreams. And your out-of-body experiences as well for the other callers. Back with more right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Terry is holding on from Kansas. We'll get back to his call and his prescient dreams in a moment. Shepen Isis, an Egyptian mummy housed since 1820 at the São Galo Abbey Library in St. Gallen, Switzerland, has had a facial makeover. Scientists from the FAPBAB Research Center in Sicily were commissioned by the Abbey Library to reconstruct her face digitally. And after spending several months on the project, they have successfully given her a face using forensic technology. This is amazing. Wait till you see the picture. The results of their efforts have been published in the form of a monograph entitled The Forensic Facial Reconstruction of Shepen Isis. And you can check that out right now in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, back to more of your prescient dreams and out-of-body experiences, and of course, Terry in Kansas. Back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Terry in Kansas, thanks for holding on. Now, you wanted to share a special prescient dream you had, and it had something to do with Canadians, I think.
Yes. I had a dream the other night about Canadian football. Now, I really don't know that much about Canadian football. But I had a dream that the Canadian Football League and the NFL were going to join. and it was going to happen by 2026.
Interesting.
And one of the things that was holding it up, it's kind of crazy, is the one-point score in Canadian football.
The one-point score.
They can score 1 point.
You don't have that in American football. The other thing that's different, Terry, about Canadian football is we have one less downs. We have three downs, you have four.
Yeah. Well, it was like they were trying to get the rules together, but neither side wanted to budge.
That would hold things up. Well, that's an interesting prediction. So the CFL and the NFL are going to try to merge by 2026. So, but it doesn't happen because they can't come into an agreement. Is that the idea?
Right.
All right. Well, right. We'll watch with interest. Terry, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Wildcard line Morris is in Youngstown, Ohio. Morris, good morning. Welcome.
I had a dream about the, those visions of rooms, okay? They had these rooms where I seen this. Let me get it together. Because we were separated, okay? And they were on the other side of the room. I was on the other side of the room. And we were looking, and they was having a party. I couldn't get the doors open to have join them and eat.
Okay. So you couldn't get into the party. You couldn't join the party. Right.
There were glass windows on this side and that side. I couldn't get in there to have the. And I called the lady, and she told me, she said, you know what? That doesn't look good. And she described to me what was going on. And that's how it went.
All right. It doesn't look good. What did she mean by that?
She said, by them eating on the other side of the room, and I'm not eating on there, she said, that's a vision of death. And I had a cousin, one went underneath a car, and he went under the car on a Thursday and a Friday. That's how it was.
So your cousin passed away. And you think this dream, two of them
on a vestibule under the car. They were decapitated on the car.
Oh, Lord. That's terrible.
Happened.
Oh, and that happened after your dream where you were separated. And you believe that dream was prescient, that it was predicting the death of your cousin. That's tragic. Morris, I'm sorry to hear about that. Thank you for sharing. Mark is it Hesperia, California, Mark?
Yes, Hesperia.
Hesperia. Ah, wonderful. I should know that. My wife is Greek. Okay.
I hope my story is as interesting as the last caller's, but I had this reoccurring dream when I was, I'm 36 now, when I was like 15, 16, for over a period of two years, I had this dream. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, right? Which I love and miss dearly. I would have these dreams where I'm in Hesperia, right? And I never hang out in Hesperia. I never lived here. I just came crossing through Hesperia, you know, when Los Angelinos drive to Las Vegas. I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
That's okay.
Thanks, Richard. You play the best music, by the way, man. Oh my God! If you can some of Grimes' music on your radio, it'll be great. I don't know if you know Grimes, but she's the ex girlfriend to Elon Musk. They just had a baby. But anyways, I digress. This town in Hesperia is on the way to Las Vegas, right? And I always remember thinking like, man, what a horrible place. Why are we going to Mars when you could just come to the armpit of California, the high desert? There's nothing here. It's just dirt. And anyways, and I'm like, I'm thinking like, thank God I live in Los Angeles. Thank God I live where I'm 5 minutes from the beach. Thank God. So I always thought that as a kid driving to Las Vegas, coming up with my family to Las Vegas, right? So I'm around 15. I start having these dreams, and they happen for several years. I'm laying in my bed, and then I start dreaming that I'm walking down a random street in the high desert, right, which is Hesperia, right, and I'm walking down this street, and it's kind of desolate, and there's like new houses being built, and this is like around 2001, 2002. I'm having these dreams, right.
And now you're living in Hesperia. What happened, Mark? How did you come to live in Hesperia?
Okay, so I have this dream that I'm walking down in the middle of the random stream in the high desert with my uncle, and my uncle lives up here, and I don't know this guy. I don't mean to talk say it like that, but I don't really know him like that. I've never spoken to him. And I'm like, why am I walking down the street in the high desert with my uncle that I don't really know too well? And this dream keeps on recurring. Every time I wake up like it's a nightmare, and I wake up in a pool of sweat. I'm like, what's going on here? And then a couple years later, I turn 18, and my mom says, hey, I'm retiring. My company has been outsourced to Mexico and to China, and they're forcing me to retire, and I'm going to buy a house in the high desert. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell? And we move up here, and on the same street that we live on is the same street that I was walking down with my uncle.
That's remarkable.
And it doesn't end there. My next door neighbor is my uncle that I'm having the dreams with. And
you had never met him before?
No.
Wow. That's amazing, Mark. You've got the gift, my friend. You've got the gift. Okay, I've got to run, take another call here. Wow, that was something else. Let's speak to Rob. He's in Bullhead City, Arizona. First-time caller, Rob. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Richie.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, I want to start off with me, my buddy Alan, and my buddy Britton. We all work together. We love your show.
Well, thank you.
Got to say that right off the bat. We listen to you guys all the time. Me and my dad were like huge on like conspiracy and everything, so all you guys' topics really hit hard with us. But getting on the topic that you guys got going on, since I was young, I had these dreams, and these dreams that I've had are there's people that consistently watch and come to me in these dreams. And in these dreams, they're very depictive. Like, you can see the features inside their faces. There's never a voice. It's always a person. And I have a lot of friends that are mediums, and they told me that I should start looking into these things. And I started looking into, like, the history of the areas that I was living in and stuff. And I found actual pictures of these people. And it was from years ago or recent, it's like people that passed away, and they say that spirits were attracted to me and they were coming to me in my dreams. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. But out-of-body experiences, I used to teach on the reservation. My mom's Navajo Indian. And when I was 16, I had to go to get my tribal name. And in order to do that, we had to do a walk. It was basically like a spirit walk. So we sat inside of the sweat lodge. We did the peyote tea. And literally, when you're sitting there meditating on this stuff, you go into like this whole different world. But when you exit your body, you actually see yourself. And when you see yourself, you start having these visions. And when you have these visions, my vision, I actually was going through the woods because I'm very in touch with nature. And I continued through the woods, and all this tragedy around me was, there was different things that were around me. I didn't know what it meant at first. And then I ended up in the desert. And when I got to the desert, there was this bright light. And in that bright light, I felt at peace. And when I woke up from this out-of-body experience, they told me that I'm going to be taking this walk and I'm going to find myself. And I went through a lot of different aspects in life that led me to where I am now. And the tribal leader actually told me that my walk's continuing, and it actually led me to the desert. And my family's always been mountains and trees and stuff like that. So it's really out of our nature to come to the desert. But when I got out here, everything went so well that out-of-body experience led me down a path that led me to where life opened up for me.
And how did life open up for you, Rob? What are you doing in the desert?
I actually became a corrections officer. I was down a bad path for a while. Like, it wasn't necessarily a bad path, but it was definitely a path that could lead me into bad decisions. I grew up in a hippie family, but, you know, I grew up with people that were consistently going to prison and going to jail, and it was like my stars changed when I came out here, and it was like something that pulled me out here, because I, like I said, I'd never, ever imagined living in the desert, but this pull pulled me here, and now I have nothing but good people around me. I bought a house, you know, a lot of things happened for me that changed. And now the life that I wanted to provide for my kids is there, and I've been able to do that. And I got married when I came out here, and there's a lot of aspects that changed. And
well, that was some walk you took. That it all started with that walk. That was some walk. Rob, congratulations. I'm glad everything came together for you, and thanks for the call. Roger's in Shingletown, California. Roger, good morning.
Yeah, hello.
Hi there.
I'm alive because of a dream.
Tell.
I was working on a ranch up in Northern California, where I live, and near the Oregon border. And one morning, I woke up from a dream, and in that dream, I was in a parking lot, and there was people standing around, and somebody came up to me and pointed a gun right at me in the dream. And I heard a woman behind me yelling, "Never stand in front of a loaded gun." And I jumped out of the way of the gun in the dream, and I rolled, and then I woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I was shaken by it, and it was around 4 in the morning, so I ended up going to work anyway. So about a month and a half, 2 months later, on my birthday, or the night before my birthday, some of the other guys that worked on the ranch, we all wanted to go out, and we went down to the Bar 40. And when we were there, there was a fight that broke out, and one of the guys that worked on the ranch there, he got in the fight, and it was really... It was a bad fight. I mean, there was blood and broken pool cues and all kinds of stuff. So the bartender was a biker type guy, and he closed the bar down. And we walked outside of the bar, and I was standing next to this guy, and I forgot his name. It's been a number of years, and he said, "Look out!" And the guy that he had been fighting walked up to us, and he pointed the gun right at me. And it was the weirdest feeling. It was everything went into slow motion. It was everything just went into slow motion. And I saw the gun, and I saw and this feeling of I know what to do. I'm jumping.
Right.
I jumped, and I rolled, and he shot the gun. And that bullet ended up hitting a car that was going down the road, but I was crawling on the pavement, and he shot above me, and then I got behind a planter, and I was down behind the planter, and I was thinking he's going to come over here and shoot me, and so I was just sitting there, and I wouldn't look up. Well, I looked up from the planter, and I could see that he had his attention elsewhere. So I ran behind the bar, and my friend was back there, and he said, "Can you believe what just happened?" I go, "I can't believe it either," and I just ran down the alley, and I ducked under a horse trailer, and I got under the horse trailer, and I wasn't going to go anywhere. And probably about 10 or 15 minutes later, I see this flashlight going up and down the alley, and I came out of the horse trailer, and there was a cop, and he said he's looking for a body back here because people thought that I'd been shot, and I wasn't shot, and I've had a full life since then.
That dream saved your life. You knew what to do.
It did. It was the weirdest feeling. You know, it was like I knew to jump. I knew to get out of the way, and I felt this calm, slow motion kind of feeling at that moment. I wasn't afraid at all. It was one of those experiences of my life.
Remarkable story, Roger. Well, I'm glad you had that dream. I'm glad you knew what to do. I'm glad you got out of the way of that bullet, and I'm glad you called tonight. Be well. Enjoy your life. Live your life. You've got a purpose. You were saved for a purpose. Live the purpose. Wow. Always a great thrill for me to sit in on a Friday night open lines. Thank you for all your wonderful calls and your wonderful stories. We'll do it again sometime in February. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Chris Burrows, Gina Salvati, Tim Banal, Ryan Stacy, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time, so long for now.